97 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Now, that's efficiency. Just finished up minutes ago with Captain Bobby Abrascato, and now if you missed the Fishing Report or want to listen again or share it with friends, post it up on our podcast page, on our Twitter feed, on the Facebook page, which is the little brother to FM Talk 106.5 on Facebook. If you haven't seen it, somebody likes to fish, you like to hunt, you like to camp, you like to get out in the outdoors, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors on Facebook. You can check out the more outdoors-related parts of our programming over there, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors on Facebook. But yeah, any of those places, you can grab the podcast or you can just go to the front page of FMTalk1065.com and click the link for podcast and do it, what do you say, buffet style?
Yeah, buffet style. You can also go to the Sports and Outdoors tab, which you're not going to believe this, but we put our Sports and Outdoors podcasts under that tab.
Did we put them there and then name it that, or did we name it that and then put them there?
I believe we named it first and then put all the Sports
That's
and Outdoors ones.
Pretty smart of us to do it that way.
Not a bad idea. And we do that because we have so much programming. And we aren't just a Sports and Outdoors and news station here. I mean, we have food shows. Mm-hmm. We have gardening, which technically is outdoors, I guess. But we have all kinds of shows that you can check out.
Growing marijuana in a grow house or something like that.
Yeah, wow. I guess so. Indos.
Well, that's right. And I think the beauty of the shows is whether or not you're an expert in your respected field or you're trying to learn, either way, you're going to be better off when you tune in, whether old school style or the new school way.
Yeah, you know, I want to take a second because I say this so many times, but it is so true. We post like 40 hours of podcast a week. Right, the volume. And I'm a fan and consumer of podcasts, local podcasts. And when I hear some of those people say, man, we're exhausted this week. We had a 2-hour podcast. Isn't that cute? I said, isn't that cute?
Sweet.
Isn't that cute? But the shows like Dalton laid out, I mean, there's something for you. Our weekends, I mean, think about when most stations are just, they plug and play as of Friday afternoon until they come back on Monday morning with another probably syndicated plug and play show. We're doing live radio on Saturday. We're doing live radio on Sundays. We're doing live radio at 8 o'clock at night. We're doing it at 6 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're here. There's a group of very dedicated people that make this happen. And I'm just proud of all the product, whether it's Sip and Chew or Bill's show or Prep Sports Report, you know, whether it's an evening show or a midday show. I'm really proud of the crew we've assembled here. And so I'll just take a second here to say thanks, y'all. Y'all been great.
You know what that reminds me of, Sean?
What's that?
Dalton, soon you will know what this means. Is when you hear two people who are married who have no children and they wake up and they say, oh, I only got to sleep until 10 o'clock in the morning.
That's when somebody gets kicked in the shin. Also, a couple other big announcements here. Number one, it is, even though John Sharp, hey, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, birthday boy.
Scoop.
He was birthday boy a week and a half ago, 10 days ago, something like that. He was trying to scoop us on our own story yesterday. I'm going to take umbrage with him because I think he's going to join me during the midday show today. But yeah, the official announcement was last hour. Debate going on right here in the studio on Tuesday, 8 o'clock from 8 to 9. And I'm going to tell you how we need you to help us out here. But a debate between Representative Bradley Byrne, AL1, and his Democrat challenger, Robert Kennedy Jr., that will happen from 8 to 9. Both candidates will be here in studio. We will be, I guess, moderating, although I'm going to talk about the thing tonight, how I'm you know, what's a debate, what's a forum, what's a meet and greet. Mm-hmm. The semantics are killing me on this. But this is a debate between these two, and it's going to be from 8 to 9, so I would love to get y'all's questions. And as Dalton said earlier, the sooner we get your question, the better chance it has to being on the list, you know, mm-hmm. first, second, third, fourth, because what happens is you'll enter into any kind of debate, or if I'm moderating something, I have like 2 pages of questions and often only get halfway through the first page.
Right.
So,
and you want them to include the city they live in.
That's right. Your name. So
you get to shout out.
Yeah, if you email me or send it to the text line, we're gonna get them from all those places. But put your name, you know, or you can give your first name. You don't have to have your last name if you want to. That's cool too. Mm-hmm. And like Kelly was saying, like what part of AL1 are you in?
Yeah, that helps because it helps shape why it is you're asking the question that you're asking and why you're so interested in the answer from either side.
You're checking in from Mount Vernon. You're checking in from Bala Battery. You're checking in from Bay Minette. You're checking in from Gulf Shores or you know Frisco City. I mean, we're, you know, just drop us a little like a dateline on it. So when we ask those questions, it gives it some more texture. I like that as well. But so that's coming up 8 o'clock on Tuesday morning. We'll talk more about this going forward. Plus, starting next week, win them before you can buy them, tickets for Jimmy Buffett. And yeah, what's going on today? Today, Fairhope Brewing Company live event for Midday Mobile. I guess I will be spitting knowledge. Look, this is what they said. The folks over at Fairhope Brewing Company said, guess who's visiting the brewery for brewery today for the lunch show? FM Talk 106.5 will be spitting out knowledge.
Do you have knowledge you can?
I don't know. It means I got to really work hard before the show today, but that's going to be live. So Fairhope folks, come out and visit with us today, noon to 2. Also, your chance to get registered for the Ultimate Tailgate Prize Package, the registration box there at Fairhope Brewing Company. So stop by, drop your name in the box. The new run of FM Talk 106.5 Huggers will be handed those out. Also, oddly enough, I'll be in Fairhope handing out copies of the Old Mobile Trivia Book, which is, by the way, a great Christmas gift idea. We'll have a copy or two of those to give away today as well. So that's happening. And then...
You go ahead, because I was going to go back to the debate. So
no, we'll get back to that in a second. Let me. I'm on a roll, man.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
I apologize.
Germans? He's on a roll. Animal House line. Sorry, y'all. So then at 5:30 at Bayside Academy, it is Eastern Shore Chamber of Commerce putting on their candidates meet and greet, right? So this is what I'm saying. I get messed up with what is this is a meet and greet. Mm-hmm. The 2018 local candidate meet and greet is going on at Bayside, and it starts at 5:30 to 7:30, so we'll be out there as well. So I'm going to be hanging with y'all in Fairhope and in Daphne this afternoon, so hopefully I get to see you at one of the two, if not both, of the events. All right, so this is a meet and greet.
Right.
Sometimes you have a forum. What we're having on Tuesday is a debate.
Correct.
May I help a little bit?
Yes.
So a meet and greet, you're going to have light snacks.
Ooh. and water with the little lemon in it.
That's the real difference.
Right. You know, but it's
a debate.
Nice.
You're going to have barbecue.
Debate, bring your own.
Yes.
But yeah, I would think that I've been to all three that you mentioned.
Yes, you have.
from a news standpoint and from a spouse standpoint. But I would say the meet and greets tend to be more snacks, light fare.
I wish we had a camera on Kelly right now. The hand motion for snack. I love it. I understand what you mean by it.
And they do say light snacks, but that's really dependent on how much you eat.
Thank you.
Light snacks can become heavy snacks very quickly.
Like when you post up at the vegetable tray and you eat a half a thing of ranch there, I don't know how light that is.
That's why you bring the mama purse. That way, you know, if you need snacks for later.
And this has been a morning for announcements. I mean, it's been crazy. If you missed it last hour, we're also going to be giving away tickets next week because Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band, they're coming to the Wharf Amphitheater. That'll be in April 23rd, but we're going to give away tickets before you can buy them next Friday, all next week on Mobile Mornings and Midday Mobile, giving away tickets to see Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band at the Wharf coming up in April. But my question was going to be,
okay,
because we have until Tuesday, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Until
mm-hmm.
the debate with Congressman Byrne and Kennedy comes in. Can we get Ken Bone? Do you remember Ken Bone that asked the questions at the presidential debate?
You mean
debate?
Ken the sweater Bone?
The red sweater, Ken Bone. And maybe since it's so
with
close to Halloween, if we can't get Ken in, I can dress up like Ken Bone and ask the listener questions.
I think you just painted yourself into a corner, my friend.
Might have to do
now,
that.
Now, would you be in the same room, or would you, because for security reasons, and not want your identity to be...
Yeah, I don't know if I want that all over the internet. That's right.
Because you are a mega million, billion dollar winner.
It turns out I did not win that.
Oh. No,
seeing some reports from a police chase through Robertsdale, I don't have any new news on that. But yeah, see, a couple people are talking about that in Robertsdale. We'll try to get you more information on that coming up in just a little bit. All right, take calls and text when we get back, 343-0106. Plus, Rob Holbert from Landyap joins us at 8:30. One of the stories we'll talk about is a story we were discussing earlier, the city of Mobile firing 10 public works employees. Remember a couple weeks ago, we had the sick out, and then people that had called in sick had miraculous recovery and showed up at the city council meeting to give them a piece of their mind, or at least the administration. Well, there was there were 10 of them that did not get offered a job again. Some were kept, some were let go. We'll talk about that in detail coming up, and plus Rob joins us to talk about that and a personal experience he and his wife had with Mobile Police Department. We'll get into all that coming up at 8:30. All right, coming right back, your phone calls, 343-0106, 343-0106.
Right,
820. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. By the way, tonight, the last night of the week, to enjoy those $6.99 apps and dollar-off drafts at the original Oyster House, happening every Monday through Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Causeway location. Now, plenty of great stuff going on at the original Oyster House in Gulf Shores, but you can get that special deal on the Causeway. Check them out tonight, 5 to 7, Original Oyster House. More details online, originaloysterhouse.com, or just check them out on Facebook. All right, 822 FM Talk 106.5, and the phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106. And we'll go to the phones, and Walt is in Fairhope. And up first. Hey, Walt.
This is strictly hypothetical, but you know, you had a shooting of a Republican congressman on a softball field. You've got Maxine Waters, you know, calling for, you know, chaos in restaurants. You got Hillary Clinton saying it cannot be civil, you know, civil. Wonder if this comes up to be the Democrats trying to do the Democrats trying to make the Republicans look bad.
Right. Okay. So this has been filling up my inbox since yesterday, and the bombs came in. Here's what I say, that I will sit back and get more information. You know, I chastised both sides yesterday. Those that immediately said this is some major plot here to engender sympathy for Democrats before the midterm. We don't. You know, I don't think that's been proven. And the other side that is blaming Donald Trump, that President Trump has said, you know, he's asked for this kind of violence. You can go back through the audio. I don't think he's asked for this kind of violence. At the same time, you could, you know, same commentators that say that should turn around and say what you just said. Well, you know, what about Democrats? Are they calling for, you know, this being uncivil and all these things? The lucky thing for us, I think, if the talking heads, pointy heads, experts on TV are right, the fact that they have the actual bombs or suspect package, whatever they call them, you know, they're like, oh, we can't really call them bombs yet. I'm calling them a bomb. I'm just a hick from South Alabama. If they have those bombs, if they go through and analyze them, the FBI folks have been on, and others have said, we can find a lot of information on that. And I wonder how fast that could lead them.
I mean, how has Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama ever opened his own mail?
I don't know. Yeah, and these are caught by Capitol Police, some of them.
And they have Secret Service agents, of course.
That's a joke. I mean, I hope it doesn't. I hope that the Democrats are not as low as they were on Kavanaugh. But, you know, it could come out to be that they're doing it to themselves so much to try to get some sympathy. That's the way.
Well, and there's a lot of people that have said the same thing. Well, here's where I am. I don't have enough information to say that either yet. You know what I'm saying? I'm not fully in on either boat.
I would hope they would not be that low, but I kind of feel like they are. But anyway.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call. But, I mean, I can also play the game like I did with somebody yesterday who contacted me about this. I said, okay, well, then it could be somebody from the right making it look like the Democrat. I mean, it could be a setup.
And then I've also heard, because everyone is going ahead and guessing at what this could be, which is what we've had so many problems with over the last few years, people jumping to conclusions while we wait for experts to actually figure out who's sending these. But I've seen people, of course, assume that it's Republicans sending it to all these Democrats and to CNN. The people that think that it's Democrats sending it as a, I guess, false flag kind of thing here. But also people have said maybe it's the Russians trying to sow discontent. So everyone's going out and guessing.
Here's the thing is, I'm not discounting any of those things you rolled out. What I'm saying is, right now, just sitting here in this studio where we do consume a lot of news, I still have not had enough information. I'm going to wait and see.
Here's what I'm hoping, that the person or persons behind this are not doing this as kind of a dry run type situation to see how authorities at the various levels react. Because if these have not been, these explosives, as we're calling them, right, if they have not gone off, they have not detonated, why haven't they? So, you know, a lot of times when you think about from a terroristic standpoint, there are people who do dry runs to see how the communities respond, how the news coverage happens, how lawmakers are received. We just have to unfortunately be in a wait and see standpoint, but we have to stay aware and alert.
There's a great article on the front page of FMTalk1065.com where the Associated Press talks with an expert. His name is Larry Johnson, former head of criminal investigations for the U.S. Secret Service, and he also served as a special agent in charge of the Presidential Protective Detail. And he kind of goes into explaining, you know, how they'll catch this person, the evidence that has likely been left behind on the devices that were in those packages. And he does mention that a good percentage of the time, this is not the first time whoever is responsible for this will have stuck their neck out. Those looking to do revenge or harm to someone, it just doesn't come to them one day. So it's likely that this person has been previously flagged by law enforcement. But we'll know more, of course, in the coming days as this investigation continues to go underway.
All right.
I just want to add one more thing. It's very easy for many people who are not in these situations to armchair quarterback and say, why didn't someone react this way? Or why didn't someone say this and that? You know, the bottom line, we as Americans want to be safe. And we have got to get to the bottom of this. And the best part of that shooting that came out, you know, what year was that? Last year? When?
Well, you're talking about the shooting
out at the baseball game?
Where the Republicans were shot.
Correct.
By. Yeah, that was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. It'll be two years this coming April.
Okay, so I was going to say the best part of that is that you saw both sides coming together and uniting as one. And we don't need something, a tragedy to have to make that happen, but we're now in that situation. So how about we get rid of all the bickering? How about we get rid of all that?
I wish we could. I just don't.
And just focus on figuring out who is sending this doggone these explosives across the country.
My cynicism, though, that's the problem, is I wish we could get rid of it, too. And you know what? You want to talk about what the reality is? Watch Steve Scalise. Watch him walking, if you see in Congress. Watch this man who was he's still vibrant in his mind, but watch his body as he uses the arm cane things to walk there in the House. Wow. All right, let's go to the phones, and Paul is in Mobile up next. Hey, Paul.
Hello. Well, I do believe that a lot has to do with the rhetoric, and I'm talking about, you know, all over the place and what happened in the past at the baseball field there. And my approach has always been to, and I think a lot of people do this, is not take on issues as though they're left or right or Republican or Democrat, whether I think they're right or make sense. And that I think a lot of people do. But what a lot of people don't do is they spend time describing the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we do less of that, because nobody describes me worse than the person who doesn't believe what I believe. They describe me of all the worst. So if we spend time describing ourselves, I think we'd have a lot less of this.
You know, Paul, I've talked about in the past, I think as you get issues that are harder to explain, political issues, or where there's, you know what, not really a lot of difference between Democrats and Republicans in Washington on, instead of trying to discuss nuance, which will have people's eyes glaze over, it's easier to demagogue the other side. It's not whether this policy is good or bad. It's
you don't know, you know. I'm sorry, you don't know who, you know, I am. You don't know my motivations. You don't know me. And the worst description of it is somebody not only saying he believes this and why he believes this is, and I go, that's not why I believe that.
Right. Well, that's what, you know, you see so much coming from Washington, because it's effective. It's not that somebody's not going to say, I don't like this policy that President Trump is bringing up. It's President Trump is dog whistling the racist out there or something like that. And you go, wait a second. Let's get back to the policy he's talking about. Should enforcement on the border be X, Y, or Z?
Right.
But it's not that.
I just think that people spend a lot of time talking about other people instead of describing who they are. And,
I think you're right.
You know,
I agree.
That adds a lot to the conflict and the rhetoric and of why people are over the top.
There we go. I agree with you. So you want to mark that one down on the calendar?
Yeah. I will.
All right, Paul. Appreciate that. 829 FM Talk 106.5. Coming up, Rob Hulbert's going to join us. A lot to talk about with him. Number one, this story that has been in motion, I'd say, for what, 3 weeks now? Mm-hmm. City of Mobile firing 10 public works employees. Firings come after pre-disciplinary hearings. I'd have that in my house. I guess we do. That's the lecture, right? Mm-hmm. The lecture is the pre-disciplinary hearing involving 26 employees from Public Works. 16 have been reinstated, and the other 10 no longer work for the city. The disciplinary measures have caused trash pickup delays for weeks, and the city is now looking to hire new employees. Mayor Stimson said yesterday they are bringing in, I think, retired folks and people from other departments to work in public works to keep up with the pace right now, but they're looking for maybe, they said, commercial entities to come in to help as well. We'll see where this goes. Get Rob Holbert's take on that. And also a very personal story from Rob in his Damn the Torpedoes column this week. He'll talk to us about that. And it's all straight ahead right here on FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, Thursday style. Speaking of Thursday, great event tonight, Cottage Hill Package, Cider Fest, with the folks from Alabama Crown Distributing. Come enjoy all the fall season in the flavors of cider. Their Recordering Swedish Cider, their Ace California Ciders, their Kopparberg Swedish Ciders. Remember Kopparberg made that strawberry drink we had at 99 Bottles of Beer on the Lawn.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That was the hit that year.
Okay. It was renamed, remember?
Yes. We can't say that.
No, I'm not saying it.
Something drops. I'll just say that. Kopparberg Swedish Ciders, they're going to be out there. We can tell you right now, those things are awesome. The Woodchuck Vermont Cider. And by the way, thank you, Andrew. Andrew Mandis from Cottage Hill Package said he probably put this in because he knows me. He said, if you're not familiar with ciders, you really need to try these. He explains a cider to me. A cider is a weird bird. It's kind of like a beer. It's bubbly, fermented with yeast, and similar in alcohol content to beer, but kind of like a wine because it's made from fermented fruit, mostly apples, while beer's made from malt and grains. So beer and hard cider have fermentation in common, but cider's really only compared to beer rather than wine because it's slightly bubbly. It's like bottled like beer, but sweeter, crisper, and lighter than beer. So there's a little description of the ciders. If you're like me and kind of ignorant on this stuff, you can come out tonight and sample those starting at 6. This is a free event, as all their evening events are, at Cottage Hill Package. And maybe while you're there, check out their great selection of craft beers. I know about those. Their wines, their fine spirits, and over 2,000 hand-wrapped cigars in their large humidor and their walk-in cooler with all the beers. Bring your friends out for a tasting event this week, because once you're there, you're going to want to stay for a while. Check them out online, cottagehillpackage.com, on Facebook, or just see them in person. That's the tastiest way to do it. Cottage Hill and Hillcrest for tonight's Cider Fest event starting at 6. All right, it is a Thursday. That means we get to talk to our buddy Rob Holbert from Lanyap. Hey, man.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. And now this story that was, Kelly and I were talking about a second ago. Yeah. I think it's been probably 3 weeks of this story, and correct me if I'm wrong, but City of Mobile now firing 10 public works employees. Walk us through what led to this.
Well, I mean, what happened, I guess, you know, you have, of course, had a sick out. A bunch of guys were sick and called in sick, and many of them showed up at the city council meeting that day to thank the council for a raise and also to complain about certain things, the conditions where they work. And, you know, it's one of those things where you call in sick and then you go, you know, your boss sees you at the ball game. It's not a great idea. And,
yeah.
You know, they fired 10 people yesterday. They won't tell us why they fired them and exactly who they are, but there are also a number of people who walked off the job at that point, and that's, I think, where this... I think those are the folks who probably were fired, not so much as the folks who went to the meeting, but the ones who walked off the job, I think, really are the ones that... We can't confirm that. That's just what we... Yeah, that's about the number of people who walked off the job.
Okay, because it was 26 employees, 16 reinstated, 10 no longer work for the city.
Right, and I, you know, talking to Dale Leash, he covers city council for us, and he was trying to find out exactly why these individuals were fired, and they got to go through personnel issues, and so they can't really tell us those things. But that was more or less the number of people who had walked off the job that day and left their job sitting there.
So okay, so now that leaves. I mean, we're already in a tight spot here with public works and getting things done with trash pickup. And I know the mayor in his letter yesterday said he had some methods, bringing people out of retirement from other departments, maybe getting commercial entities to help and getting this trash pickup on schedule.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll get it done. You know, it's obviously going to be a bit of a catch up, but I think it's one of those things. He didn't have a lot of options. You know, if you've got people just walking off the job, it's not really, you don't leave a lot of room for the boss to make decisions. I don't know that a lot of the people who showed up at the meeting calling in sick were actually fired. I really think it was more folks who just didn't do their job that day and left their job sitting out there undone.
Now, how much of this, I mean, there's in this case, the specific battle, I think, is easy to square your mind to, because you don't get to call in sick and not work. You don't get to just walk off the job and keep a job. I mean, that's just how life works. Kids, if you're listening, that's how you got to show up. You got to go to work. But the bigger context of the war is the war between the council and the administration. I mean, this is just, it seems like one of the battles there. And I'm, you know, sadly enough, I've just been trained this way. I'm waiting to see what the council does now in retribution.
Well, you know, I don't really know what retribution there should be from the council.
I don't think there should be any, but I'm just saying.
You know, I think the mayor did what was proper in getting rid of people who aren't doing their job. And you can't, you know, I think in the private sector, if you call in sick and then, again, I don't even think it was the people who called in sick.
The people that walked off.
Meeting, but I think it's the people who just walked off their job. If somebody's walked off a job that needed to be done and left it hanging, you probably would say, okay, you know, see you later. Here's your pink slip. Go somewhere else.
Yep.
I have a question. Of the people that we pointed out that were at the city council meeting who were not at work, who were sick, were those any of the people, do we know yet, that were included in the 10 who no longer are employed by the city?
We don't know that, Kelly. You know, I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think there were probably about 10 who, from what Dale has explained to me, that he said basically there were about 10 who walked off their job. Mm-hmm. The 20 out of the 26. We think that basically it was the people who walked off the jobs who got fired, not just people who just called in sick and then went to the council.
All right.
But we don't know that for sure.
That's okay.
We won't know that until, you know, after all the process, all the personnel process is done.
It's just, and I think, like I said, I agree with you. I mean, you have no other option in a situation where somebody just walks off the job. I mean, you can't, you know, can't let that person remain. I just wonder how much of this gets, there's like the doing the business of the city, the administration doing this and council, you know, making judgments on that. But there's a side current to everything that seems to go on lately. It's like, here's the thing we're doing for the city, but how does this have a political effect on this chasm that is formed between the administration and the council?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think a lot of it depends on where you see the council fall on this. And sadly, you're probably right that there's going to be some political hay made of it, that there, you know, some members of the council are going to fall on the side of that these people shouldn't have been fired. Which, you know, I don't know what that says about them in terms of running the city, if they think it's okay for people to just walk off the job. I hope that's not what we see from them. You know, I hope that they're a little more aware of the city work needs to be done regardless of people's irritations. And there are channels to go through if people don't like the way the work is done or whether, you know, their work conditions. And you know, we reported on that. There were issues over at Public Works and you know, a lot of complaints about the people running Public Works, and they replaced that person. And, you know, I think now there's complaints about the next person, you know.
Now, I do see many texts coming in on this, but James suggests that possibly in retaliation, the city council may pick a president to get back.
That would be crazy, wouldn't it? Yeah.
This is twofold. One, does your gut tell you that this is reaching back into the whole discussion about the stadium and USA? Is this somehow related to that? And then secondly, if these people did walk off the job, did they technically quit before they were fired?
Well, I don't know that they quit, but they, you know, they protested by walking off the job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, you know, if you're protesting walking off the job and leaving everybody's garbage cans full that day, and so that the city's getting phone calls, you know, there's a concept, Kelly, I think, that people have in this country that their freedom of speech extends to getting to do whatever they want to at work sometimes.
That's no bueno.
you know, there's plenty of opportunity to protest and do things on your time off, your day off. Whatever, take a vacation day if you want to protest. But I think if you decide, hey, it's my right to protest today by walking off, you're going to end up probably getting fired most of the time.
All right. Coming back, more with Rob Hulbert from Lanyap. More questions for him. And I want you all to check out best probably to go right now to lanyapmobile.com. Look at the column, Damn the Torpedoes, from this week. Read along, and we'll have Rob talk about a scary situation, a personal situation that is focused on in this week's column. Also, we are following the reports out of Robertsdale. We had earlier had a police chase going on in Robertsdale, now seeing a text who says from a texter says, my sister is a teacher at Robertsdale Elementary, sent me a text saying they're on lockdown. We're looking for more information. We'll get it to you ASAP. Right, 8:51 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. Good to be talking to our buddy Rob Hulbert with Lanyap. And your column, Damn the Torpedoes, this week. Walk us through this, because it sounds like pretty darn scary, since you get a message from your wife saying a man had attempted to grab her. Explain this.
Well, you know, she works downtown and I work downtown. And last Wednesday, just before 10 o'clock, I get a text message to me, says, call me, a man just tried to grab me on the street, you know, and so...
What does that feel like? I'd be... Wow.
Yeah, you know, so I call her as, you know, I'm sort of like heading to the car as I call her, and she says, look, you know, I'm standing out there on the phone, this guy, I've noticed this guy getting closer to me, and I sort of back up toward the door, and he starts to lunge at me, and I manage to get in the door as he swings his arm at me and tries to grab me. And, you know, so she's like, he's obviously really messed up. She gives me a description of the guy. And, you know, and I'm saying, well, I'm coming over there. I'm looking for him. She said, you know, well, don't jump out of the car. I'm like, I'm not trying to go and be Batman here. I'm just, my first thought, unfortunately, was that our police officers weren't going to really get on this very quickly. And I, just because I've dealt with some things down here where it just wasn't, you know, when it comes to these homeless people or the people who are just wandering around the streets doing crazy stuff, my initial thought process was they're not going to really get on this very quickly. And so I drive around, I find the guy. He's sitting out in a parking lot trying to break into a car, pulling the door handles.
Okay, wait, the same person that had lunched at your wife, he's at this point now trying to see whose car is unlocked.
He's over on St. Louis Street in a parking lot. Yeah, and I see him, and then he comes. He walks out onto the sidewalk and just starts strolling along in front of me. So I just kind of creep along behind him. I call the police. Say, hey, look, you know, you got a call over on St. Michael. I'm following the guy. He's right here. He's on St. Louis. He's, you know, and so, you know, that kept going for 14 minutes as I called and told him, you know, as I sat there on the phone with him and told him, okay, he's here, he's going down this road, he's doing this, he's doing that. And, you know, then it became, at some point I noticed that there were some guys from Downtown Mobile Alliance who were following him as well.
Now, how did they get, how did they start following? I read that in
already, they were apparently already following before all this occurred. They actually saw him attempt to grab my wife. And,
oh, wow.
And they had been following him already because he's whacked out on drugs, and I don't know exactly what caused them, but they had already called the police too. So we are getting there, you know, and it's long and short of it is, by the time the cops came, it was over 30 minutes, and you know, they showed up down at the Social Security office, and where the guy had walked down there, and one of the men from the DMA had sort of just managed to get him to go into the Social Security office, and so the cop showed up, and you know, the attitude immediately was a really bad attitude, or really, you know, didn't want to ask any questions, didn't care about anything, just real surliness. And I attempted to take a photo, I took a photo from sidewalk, standing way out of the way, and one of the cops came over and shoved her hand in my face, and I sort of explained to her that that was my First Amendment right, and that didn't make anything any better. But you know, we get over, they finally go over, they take a statement from my wife, and then tell us, well, look, we're going to let this guy go if you don't go and file a warrant right now. This is basically a citizen's arrest. We didn't see it, it's a misdemeanor, so you've got to go file a warrant. Okay, well, we'll go do that. Well, you need to go to Theodore, I mean, get to Tillman's Corner and do it. So that's the only magistrate around right now is Tillman's Corner. Like, are you kidding? We got to drive all the way out to Tillman's Corner. So we jump in the car, head out there. Officer called us on the way out there, says, look, you better be on your way or we're letting him go. We're on our way. We get out there and walk in and say, look, we got to file a warrant. They said, well, you've got to have an appointment to do that.
So, after you were told to come out to the
right.
Tillman's Corner.
Okay. The arrest had just occurred, but we're supposed to have an appointment. And so we sit down, you know, we can obviously protested that a bit, and they told us to sit down. While sitting there, another man walks in. He's trying to get a warrant signed on somebody who stole $1,200 from his business. He's already been to one place. He's been sent there. They tell him, no, you can't do it here. He's frustrated. I go up and talk to him and say, what's going on? You know, he says, look, I've been sent here. I've been sent there. Now they're sending me back down to Virginia Street. They tell me I may be able to sign something there, maybe not. We're not sure. You know, he's infuriated by it. So he leaves. I sit down. They finally call my wife to go back and sign the warrant after a while. And then an officer walks out of the back. And he says, look, he talks to the lady. He says, look, I've got six or seven that need to be signed. Can I get them signed here? Nope, can't have them signed here. And he just kind of loses it. He says, look, I've been downtown. I've been here. He names like three or four places he's been. He says, there's nobody there. I can't do this. Like, I'm just about to let these people go. They're about to walk free. And, you know, he just kind of storms off into the back and like, this is just craziness. And, you know, we go back. When we got back to the office, I looked the guy up. He's been arrested 30 times in the last 6 years. He's been arrested 15 times for domestic violence. He's had theft, receiving stolen property, all these other things. And then the kicker on it was that Fox 10 ran a story the following night about a Good Samaritan who helped some guy out Tuesday night who had passed out on drugs over at the McDonald's. And lo and behold, it's the guy. It's the same guy. So the Tuesday night before, he had passed out smoking mojo, synthetic marijuana, and, you know, 12 hours later, he's wandering the streets again, high on mojo, and attempting to attack women.
Wow.
And all of this is detailed in this month, this week's column. It's fascinating that you were able to keep your cool and be able to describe this in such a way.
Well, it's, you know, I'm not trying to make myself the center of any of this. It's not the point of it. It's just that there is, it was a shocking type of thing to have that. You say, okay, well, how can people sign warrants if there's not a magistrate down? And, you know, I talked to Jim Barber, and he said, look, we're working with the city to get magistrates all over the place, but we don't have any right now. I don't know why we don't have any, but if you're telling people, look, this is a misdemeanor, this guy's breaking windows, this guy's doing things downtown, and what we're going to need for you to do is take 2 hours out of your day and drive over to Tillman's Corner and sign a warrant, a lot of people aren't going to do that. And it's just, you know, why that kind of thing, it just creates a situation where we have these people out on the street. Then on top of that, of course, is
hey,
just,
Bob,
the, Bob, just the rolling thing. Yeah.
Tell folks, too, where they can pick up the new land yap.
I'm sorry,
go
ahead. And, we've got Gina, Gina Gregory on the cover this week, you know, about her recovery from breast cancer. It's a great story. You can check us out on landyapmobile.com, and pick us up at about 1,500 locations all over the city.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great day.
We'll do.